This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
When you want to know what's going on and describe TV in your area, well, I would suggest you go to ami.ca/DVGuide. Put in your postal code and, of course, the time frame you're interested in, and up comes that listing of what's available to you with Describe Video. That's ami.ca/DVGuide. Ramya Amuthan, Kelly McDonald, we are the hosts of Kelly & Company. Thanks for being with us. So we've been doing the Voices segment for a few years now.
I
was going to almost lie and say, oh, from the beginning, and I realized, no, that's a bald-faced lie, because it just seems like it. It's been fun getting that chance to hear some of the voices that you hear on the network and hear to talk about different things that you may not know that they are involved in or platforms, different from our collections and hobbies. And I realized today, as we want to hear from people and like to hear about the passions, drives, and any comments on topics that they may want to share with us, things they find important, that today we're actually bringing on a voice that's never been on our show. I don't even know if he's actually been on the network. Let's bring him on and ask about it, though. We're joined by Andrew Morris, manager of independent production at AMI. Drew, you ever been on AMI Audio?
I have never been on AMI Audio before, and I'm shocked. I mean, Kelly, I thought we were friends. I've known each other for 13 years, and this is my first time on your show. Oh, hi, Ramya.
Hey. I would be more concerned with the fact that, what, is this guy scratching the bottom of the barrel? He's bringing Drew on here now? Now, why not before? Why haven't we had you on? Well, okay, so you've been part of the rule breaking for the description of this segment. Good heavens, man. What does manager of independent productions do at AMI?
Well, we basically, well, by we, I mean, I was overseeing the independent productions of original content for AMI. So what that means is that AMI has a couple of different ways of making original productions. We make some of them in-house with our staff. We outsource some of those with an in-house type model where we use freelancers. And then the third way is by hiring independent production companies from across the country. And that's the part that I currently am overseeing at AMI, and actually transitioning out of that role into a new role, which is overseeing the launch of the Disability Screen Office. So that's exciting.
We'll get to that. I just kind of wonder, in all the time finding those production companies, introducing them to AMI over the years, what was kind of the process or the things that you learned how to, first of all, explain what we do, what we're looking for, and things like with being, well, of course, part of that and doing Blindsided and having to get people to understand about integrated descriptions, so many different things. What were some of the challenging things working with these companies that at one time were brand new to us, now hand in hand with us?
Yeah, well, there's a lot to unpack there. I would say in the beginning, when we started making original productions with independent production companies, this was maybe 8 or 9 years ago. We weren't that recognizable of a channel outside of the community of people who are blind and partially sighted. And it was a challenge, I guess, just introducing ourselves to independent production companies who didn't know that we were around or that we were a channel or that we were even commissioning programming. So that was the first challenge. But, you know, certainly as soon as you go out into the community and you say, hey, here's a bag of money and we're hoping that you're going to pitch us some shows that are relevant to our channel. Yay. So obviously, we got had a lot of friends very quickly. So that worked out well. But, you know, I think the way it evolved over time is that back then, independent production companies would find a topic or people from disability community to make shows about and then pitch those shows to us. And the way that the department has really evolved over the years is that rather than the independent production company doing that, we've said to them, why don't you open your doors to disabled creators and ask them what they want to make and then bring that back to us and you be like a service production company where you are helping them make great television. Because that way, then you've got the authentic representation and perspective of the person with the lived experience. And that's really more the direction that we're heading into now.
Okay. Yeah, it's really kind of an interesting approach to collaboration, right? Because there's the seeking out of content, of people, personnel, whatever, and then there's just the ongoing relationships as well. But you were saying that now you'll be moving on to disability screen-offs. So can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Disability Screen Office, which is really just in its early inception right now, is intended to be an office that has three main functions: to increase the accurate and meaningful, I would say, disability representation, both on and off screen throughout the media landscape, and also eliminate accessibility barriers so that we can create a more inclusive and accessible industry for everyone in Canada. And additionally, to, you know, support and amplify the creative voices of disabled Canadians and their stories, both nationally and internationally. So when you look at all that stuff put together, that turns into an organization that's involved in training and education, maybe consultation services, maybe having a resource library, some business affairs assistance, potentially some funding, a lot of advocacy, awareness campaigns, lobbying. There's a lot that would be required to fulfill that mandate. So that's really what the office intend to be. And I should say that AMI has basically been the key partner in launching this screen office. And we've done so far in partnership with the Canada Media Fund and Telefilm Canada, who have both gotten behind a couple of different initiatives that will ultimately launch the screen office to be its own entity.
So let's jump to that. Why AMI? You might want to give us a little idea of that involvement, that history that AMI has had working with, obviously we understand to create shows, working and partnering with production companies, but there's been a little more, and especially when we look at areas of dealing with the CRTC for our license, but other things AMI has been involved in, that would that have made us the right place to go to, or the only?
Yeah, you nailed it, Kelly. It's like you don't even really need me here at all.
All right. Well, we do to fill airtime. We need another
well,
voice.
The truth is that, you know, when all of these industry incentives came out over the past couple of years to better represent underrepresented communities, they really had a focus on the racialized communities, people that are Black, people of color, Indigenous communities as well. And really what was happening was that they were operating under a banner of diverse communities, I should say. And so we basically said, you know, why are all these why are all these programs under the diversity banner, but it's not really a full definition of diversity. It's not inclusive. It doesn't include LGBTQ plus communities.
Right.
It doesn't include people with disabilities either. And when the funders and the funding organizations and the industry organizations, they take a look around the table and they say, well, this is great. Yes, we should do this, but who is going to take the lead? Because there really is no organization that represents people with disabilities. I mean, AMI is considered, you know, a leader in the media industry, as we have these three broadcast services, but we're not an advocacy organization. We're a media company. So all these funders basically looked to AMI and said, can we partner with you to set this up and to do this right? And of course we said, yes, absolutely. The problem though is that AMI, it's not really in our mandate to be doing this kind of work. We, as I mentioned, we're a media company. We're a broadcaster. We're a digital content creator and producer and distributor. So the idea was that, yes, absolutely, we're going to facilitate the opening of this office that will take care of all that advocacy work to make sure that the industry really is inclusive for everyone, including people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the kind of way of doing that, right, is it takes a lot of like getting to know other companies, getting to know other media providers or other content creators or just all levels of knowing what's out there. Is that part of the process to get things going?
Yeah, absolutely it is, because, you know, you can't change an industry from a systemic level by, right. And when I say change, I mean for the better, by just running a couple of programs. You really need to embed some of the integral thought processes from from the grassroots level from the bottom, and also from a structural level from the top. And what I mean by that is you need to meet everyone involved from every step of the process. So on the industry side, you know, we have to form partnerships and create a larger awareness with the broadcasters, with the funders, with the industry organizations, the unions. Like, there's a lot of work to be done partnering and creating awareness among those groups. And then also, you know, in productions on the grassroots level, like independent production companies also need to have the tools to make their productions accessible and to make sure that they are representing people with disabilities appropriately. And just basically having a set of tools to do that in a meaningful and appropriate way. So yeah, we need to work with everybody to ensure that the job gets done.
I always think too, Andrew, and we're at the stage now where it doesn't seem to be, and you talk to anybody in the business, they'll say, well, there's still a lot of ways to go. There's still more representation needed. There's still onset, more fairness, more things need to be safer. Things we need to be thought of as not just, oh, well, there's a disabled character needed here. Okay, we're okay letting that actual person with lived experience in. We also want them to say, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter. This person is great for the part. It doesn't matter. Their disability doesn't come into it. So we always talk about those things for people going to be on camera and things like that. But we're looking at such a place of, do they know those people out there can write? Those people out there can direct, are interested in those areas. And there's a lot of those things that having the conversations, letting people know and educating, you guys have a lot of that maintenancing and introducing ahead to people who are interested, who are trying to make their way and making them partner up. Again, you can't do all the work for anyone. Where does the Screen Office kind of cut off? You know, I mean, if you say, hey, Kelly, we're giving you an opportunity to work on your craft, where does that point go where you make an introduction to said production company and I take the ball? Or is it more of that encouragement of the tools of how to find the grants and so on?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's actually a little bit of each of those ideas rolled into, you know, one office. So I think most of the work that the DSO is going to do is going to be at the industry level. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Like, I'll give you a couple of examples. So, you know, let's say that a person is a director, and actually, I can give you a real example. I one of the people that I'm working with the Disability Screen Office is a director, and you know, they're an excellent director. They've always been an excellent director. They've worked on scripted some of the biggest Canadian shows around, and then this person had an illness and eventually lost his speech. And as you can imagine, and basically had to relearn how to talk from scratch. And as you can imagine, directing requires a lot of communication, and in some cases, maybe a lot of loud communication with all kinds of people on a set. And so, you know, the problem now is that this person now needs an assistant, someone to help communicate with all the people on set. And so, who pays for that assistant? And the problem is that there really is no understanding of awareness of how this all would work out from a budget standpoint. So this person's actually, when I asked, okay, so who's paying your assistant? They said, well, I'm paying them. It comes out of my salary. And you know, it really doesn't seem to be fair that someone should have to reduce their own salary because they need an onset accommodation. Like, we have accommodations for all kinds of stuff on set that producers have no problem putting into a budget. It just seems like accessibility is either not thought of or an afterthought. So to answer your question using that example, yes, we need to look at the person and the talent first, as opposed to looking at what kind of either a burden or what kind of a cost is going to be associated with that person. And that's probably one of the biggest barriers right now in the industry, is that there's a lot of people with disabilities that are working in the industry that don't want to disclose that they have a disability because they know that the industry will see them as less employable. There'll be a burden for some reason, whether they're going to cost more money or they're going to take more time. Yep. And really what we need to do, and I mean this from an organizational point of view, is we need to shift the perspective. We need to change from, you know, a certain person or a certain job or whatever is going to be, going to be cumbersome or a problem. Shift that to recognizing the value of the person and the talent of a person. Because when the industry wants something, they pay for it. You know, when a production decides that they want better cameras or they want to hire that celebrity, you know, like if we hire a celebrity to be our lead role, to play our lead actor or actress, and they have a writer with, you know, $100,000 worth of green Smarties, I mean, that you better believe that we're going to pay for it, right?
That's right.
We should be looking at people, whether they have a disability or not, and recognizing the value and paying for whatever it takes to get them into the positions where they can express their value and their creativity. And I think that once the industry sees people and talent from that perspective, that it will just be a natural fit to say, you know what, we've got extra budget lines to accommodate all different kinds of people with different abilities and value in different areas. Let's use those budget lines to get the people that we're looking for. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, just my last thing on this topic, is that since launching the DSO, which again is in the very early stages, people from across the country have been reaching out to us, like writers, actors, directors, and they're sharing their work. And they're saying, take a look at some of the stuff that I've done. I want to introduce myself. And there is some really incredible talent out there, like a lot of people with disabilities that just aren't getting the work for whatever reason. And, you know, it shouldn't be that way. We should be recognizing the talent and facilitating it in whatever way we can.
Awesome. Drew, how do they reach out? Our website?
They can go to AMI.ca and go to the Contact Us page, and DSO doesn't have an address quite just yet. I can even share my email on the air. I'm that kind of guy.
All
so
right.
If they want, they can reach out to me personally, andrew.morris, M-O-R-R-I-S, at AMI.ca. And I'm doing that because I am transitioning out of taking pitches for your program. So if you've got a program idea, I'm not the right guy.
Okay.
But if you want to talk about the DSO, reach out. Let's talk about it.
Andrew Morris joining us here. He's manager of independent productions at AMI. Lots to talk to him about there. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate you being with us for Voices. We'll be back in a sec and wrap up the show.
Hi, I'm Ramya Amuthan. Join me weekly for AMI Audiobook Review, the podcast that explores new titles, introduces us to famous narrators, and updates what's hot at the Center for Equitable Library Access. Download episodes of AMI Audiobook Review from your favorite podcast provider.